Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast. My name is Jean Kim, and I'm an attorney in Ogletree's cross-border practice group and based in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Mahoney. I'm an attorney in our employee benefits and executive comp practice group, and I'm based in Morristown, New Jersey.
Thank you, Mike, for introducing yourself. Today's podcast topic is, drumroll please, self-expats and related tax implications. Now, most of you may wonder what that means, but it's fairly simple. We've talked about remote work in several previous podcasts, with the main one being back in July by our very own Dan DePlace and Ethan Isaac. And when such remote work goes on indefinitely, or even an expat that was on international assignment that ends up staying in the host country indefinitely, especially without company supervision or awareness, we're faced with this so-called self-expat. Pre-COVID, these often came up to light when the individual needed to be exited and the company realized that he or she had been working remotely for several of years without the business being aware of the situation. And yes, surprisingly, or shall I say not so surprisingly, happens quite often. But of course, don't worry, this is still the case post-COVID, but the difference is how increased the relevant risks are. In addition to the more widely discussed risk topics related to remote work and self-expats, such as employment and labor laws and immigration, we're going to focus today on what this means from a tax perspective.
Thanks, Jean. So today I want to first just kind of set our stage and discuss what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to talk about income tax issues as well as social tax issues before talking about some of the administrative issues that employers face when dealing with stealth expats. So just to kick it off with some income tax issues, there is the famous saying that nothing is certain except for death and taxes, and that remains the case even if you're traveling internationally in stealth mode. When you think about income tax issues, you need to consider the local destination rules in the country that you are traveling to. And so that may entail looking at different types of laws than employers, especially U.S. employers that are exclusively domestic, are accustomed to. But it is important because you can easily have an employee create an income tax obligation in that destination country based on local rules. So just to give you an example, in the U.S., our local rule is you are not subject to income tax if you earn less than $3,000 or spend less than 90 days in the country. So if you earn in excess of $3,000, then a person traveling into the U.S. would have an income tax obligation. So that's kind of just to give you some background on the local rules. On top of that, we also layer on tax treaties. These are the bilateral agreements that we have with various countries. It's not universal. So it's important to understand which country or countries the stealth expat is traveling to understand whether or not there may be treaty relief available. Typically, treaties, including those based on OECD models, permit an individual to spend up to 183 days in a destination country without incurring a tax obligation, as long as there isn't a permanent establishment in the destination country that is also bearing the cost of that compensation. And in effect, what that bearing the cost component comes down to is the destination country doesn't want to have employers double dip and claim a deduction for wages paid in their country, as well as have the employee claim exemption from income tax. So it's important to consider where you are paying your employees from and whether or not it's going to be a local entity in that jurisdiction, which, you know, frankly, would be uncommon in a stealth expat role. Next, I did mention we need to make sure we always consider income tax separately from social tax obligations. Typically, the rules are different. And so you would need to look at the local rules for social tax purposes as well. Again, just to kind of give some understanding of what the local rules are in the United States, unlike for income tax, for FICA taxes in the U.S., there is no de minimis threshold. So really, it's day one, dollar one, that a person inbound to the United States would be subject to social tax, FICA tax, withholding, and contributions. Now, we mentioned tax treaties earlier, and there are separate agreements, bilateral agreements, that the United States has entered into with fewer countries, actually, than it has with respect to income tax. And these are typically called totalization agreements. In effect, what they say is if a person is a detached worker who is going to spend typically less than 5 years in the destination country, and they are going to remain covered by their home country social tax system, then the employer has no obligation to contribute or withhold social tax contributions in that destination country. Again, this becomes a country by country issue based on where your stealth expat is traveling. So it's important to keep a close eye on the jurisdictions to which they're traveling. Now, I wanted to also talk about some of the administrative issues that employers face with internationally mobile employees, including stealth expats, from a compliance perspective. And so some of the issues that may need to be addressed include whether to establish a shadow payroll, which would enable an employer to comply with both the destination country as well as home country tax reporting and deposit obligations. And it will also need to consider whether or not it will support its employees in the individual's tax return filing obligations. Now, one of the other considerations that a lot of employers have is whether or not to provide tax equalization for employees that are traveling internationally while working. And Jean, I know you had an interesting war story about tax equalization. You want to share that with us?
Yes, the topic of tax equalization definitely reminds me of a recent incident that a client was faced with. So stealth expats are also those that fall under the radar, even if they were initially on the company's radar. For example, a client had an expat in Belgium, and for whatever reason, he stayed in Belgium for several years past the intended period. But because he fell off the company's radar, the company continued to tax equalize him, which essentially means that the company fronted his taxes and should have examined at the end of the year whether he owed the company anything on a yearly basis. Since that didn't happen, the company didn't find out until later, after the employment relationship was terminated, when applying tax equalization for the final year of employment, that they hadn't been paid back the fronted taxes. And since the employee was no longer an employee and the relationship had ended several months prior, getting him to cooperate with the process was nearly impossible. Have you heard or seen any situations like this, Mike?
That's a great example, Jean, and it really shows some of the complexity that employers face with some of their global policies for stealth expats. As you mentioned, right, the employer no longer had leverage over the former employee to obtain the repayment for taxes that it had paid on the employee's behalf for several years. So it kind of goes to reiterate and reinforce that it's important for employers to keep track of their employees so that they don't inadvertently create stealth expats. It brings up a kind of another interesting point that when you have employees working remotely or in different countries, whether stealth or otherwise, employers should really also contemplate whether there are any corporate tax issues that arise and stem from having employees operating in those jurisdictions. And while the analysis of whether or not there's a permanent establishment in that location, right, which is another way of kind of calling something nexus being our U.S. term, largely it comes down to first, whether you really have a brick and mortar facility, whether you have kind of a corporate structure in that location, but you also need to be cognizant of the activities of the employee and the duration of the employee's stay. So if you have a high-level executive that is executing agreements in a particular country or seeking clients in that jurisdiction, the risk is probably far greater than if it's a low-level analyst who just happens to have a beach house in a foreign land. But certainly something also to keep on your radar as you examine these stealth expats.
Yes, as we can all see, there are definitely several components to stealth expat-related tax implications, as Mike touched on today, largely being income taxes, social insurance taxes, and permanent establishment considerations. The concern with stealth expats is that the company is forced to be reactive, since once the expat falls off the company's radar for any reason, he or she doesn't get back on the company's radar usually until it's time to sever their employment relationship. And that gives the expat way more leverage than necessary during termination negotiations.
Mike, you know, you definitely gave us a lot to think about today, and hopefully we don't have too many folks out there that all of a sudden have light bulbs going off in their minds being like, oh my goodness, where's this expat right now? Are they still in that country or are they back in the US? But if that's the case, you know, today's podcast, it's a success, and hopefully we can help trigger those light bulbs a little bit better down the road.
Absolutely. It's always better to be proactive in this space than reactive.
I would absolutely agree. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only, and is not to be construed as legal advice.